From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. After the Democratic National Committee refused to hold a presidential candidate debate centered on climate change, CNN decided this week to host its own forum on the critical subject matter. CNN hosts questioned the top 10 presidential candidates in a seven-hour televised marathon, while audience members added their own questions. While the format did not enable candidates to challenge one another, climate justice activists hailed the sheer existence of the forum dedicated to climate change as a victory. Joining me to assess who championed climate justice best among the candidates is David Turnbull, Strategic Communications Director at Oil Change US. Welcome to the program, David.
Thanks for having me on.
So do you agree that the existence of this forum itself was a victory? And that's sort of a sad question to ask, given the state of the planet right now, that we should be cheering on that media are talking about this issue?
Yes, I do think that the climate forum held on Wednesday is a victory for us. It was a key moment in the climate fight where we had 7 hours of primetime television on CNN talking about the climate crisis. And what's more, we had real robust discussion with some serious questions about critical issues on the climate crisis that allowed the candidates to really get into the details of how they would address it. So I think Wednesday's climate forum was actually a critical moment in our fight here.
And so the media outlet, in a way, was responding to this call from the grassroots, right, that there needs to be a discussion on climate change. When the DNC turned down the demand by young people, especially, CNN took this up. But really, the credit should go to activists with groups like Sunrise Movement and your organization, right?
I don't want to give myself credit, but yes, I think that the climate movement was absolutely a critical part of making this happen. We see poll after poll showing that Democratic voters care about climate change. It's their top issue or of the top issues that they care about in this year's cycle's election. And meanwhile, the Democratic National Committee is actually falling behind their own electorate and the candidates for president. So we're really excited that CNN and soon MSNBC as well, heeded the call of actual voters and candidates to hold this discussion.
And the candidates themselves certainly made strong calls because they were asked to focus on this issue at previous debates. Only a minimal amount of time was actually dedicated to this. The DNC's justification for denying a climate change debate was that they very well can't go about having single issue debates. Except, of course, this issue is very much, many people would agree, the single biggest issue facing humanity, especially given everything that's playing out with the record-breaking hurricane right now, right?
Absolutely. We see climate impacts every single day across the United States, whether it's the hurricane and inundation on the coastline or, wildfires out west. The climate crisis is here. And, it's really funny that when we were really pushing for a climate debate, some skeptics said, oh, how are you going to talk about climate change for a full hour? Well, they had 7 hours of discussion. And when you look at the discussion, it ranged from talking about agriculture policy to trade policy to renewable energy to taking on the fossil fuel industry. The climate crisis hits us in so many different ways. And there is so much to discuss with respect to candidates' plans to address it.
So let's actually take a listen to some of which was actually said on Wednesday at the climate forum that CNN held. I want to focus on the front runner of the Democratic presidential candidate so far, and that's former Vice President Joe Biden. He maintained that he had been a champion on the issue of climate change, that he would not be beholden to corporations, and indeed has never been beholden to corporations. One young man challenged him on just how committed he would be to climate change.
I'm 27 years old. Half of all greenhouse gas emissions ever generated by the entire history of human civilization have been released in my lifetime. This despite the now well-documented fact that 40 years ago, scientists at Exxon and Shell knew and reported to their bosses that burning fossil fuels was warming the planet and would destabilize the climate. Fossil fuel corporations, their executives, their trade and industry organizations, and their think tank front groups have waged a decades-long campaign of lying to the public about the science, and it has brought us to a crisis that threatens the entire human race. Now, I know that you signed the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge, but I have to ask, how can we trust you to hold these corporations and executives accountable for their crimes against humanity when we know that tomorrow you are holding a high-dollar fundraiser hosted by Andrew Goldman, a fossil fuel executive?
He's not a fossil fuel executive, I'm told. He is not a fossil fuel executive.
If you're going to a fundraiser that's given in part by this guy who has a company that is pulling up natural gas, are you the right guy to go after these?
Well, I didn't realize he does that. I was told, if you look at the SEC filings, he's not listed as one of those executives. That's what we look at, the SEC filings. Who are those executives? I've kept that pledge, period.
So is that, are you going to look at that fundraiser tomorrow night?
Or I'm going to look at what you just told me and find out if that's accurate. Yes.
Okay. I think it's pretty accurate. Aaron, I called you Isaac. I called you Aaron. I apologize. Isaac, thank you for your question. And I apologize for taking up so much time, but I thought it was important to give some context. I want to go to Francine Strike.
By the way, every one of my fundraisers from the beginning are open to the press. Press is forever. There's nothing that's done behind closed doors. Every single fundraiser I've had.
And that is former Vice President Joe Biden being challenged on stage at the CNN Climate Forum on Wednesday, both by an audience member and by the person interviewing him, CNN host Anderson Cooper. David Turnbull, how do you respond to his assertion that he had no idea that the person whose fundraiser he is to attend the day after the CNN Climate Forum is somebody who is a co-founder of a natural gas company?
Yeah, you know, this was a pretty amazing moment, and I really want to give credit to Isaac for such a fantastic question. You know, Vice President Biden's answer was problematic, I would say. It's clear that he had his campaign look into the activities of Andrew Goldman, and it's clear that if they had looked into it, they would have seen, and they did see, that he has a part in a fossil fuel company. Now, whether or not he is officially an executive by the definition that we've developed for the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge is still in under question. That's fair enough. But it's pretty clear that the spirit of the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge and the goals of trying to rid our politics of the influence of the fossil fuel industry are not aligned with having someone like Andrew Goldman host a fundraiser for you. So, you know, we were pretty concerned about that exchange between Vice President Biden and both Isaac and Anderson Cooper. And, you know, we're concerned about the fundraiser itself. Again, it may not technically break the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge, but it certainly breaks the spirit of the pledge.
And Biden seems to have been caught off guard, I suppose. It just is incredible to me that here is the front runner in the race, and he has continued to make claims that are very easily refutable, which really makes us wonder, and this is, of course, a topic for a separate interview, makes us wonder how he would fare in a general election were he to win the nomination for the Democratic Party. Overall, how do you think he fared, at least in commitments made publicly to the audience members on the issue of climate change? Did he, you know, go as far as banning fracking and other, maybe backing the Green New Deal as some of the other candidates did?
You know, it sort of feels like the landscape has shifted underneath Joe Biden and he hasn't come along. Whether it comes down to finding technicalities to avoid breaking the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge or avoiding taking on the fossil fuel industry directly. You know, it seems that Joe Biden's policies are stuck a little bit in the Obama era. And what we saw and what we've seen in the climate debate and the election thus far is that the ground has really shifted. We need a candidate who's going to take on the fossil fuel industry directly, who's going to embrace bold, ambitious goals aligned with the Green New Deal, and what young people have put forward and what the science is demanding. You know, we were actually kind of pleasantly surprised to see the plan that was released by Vice President Biden some weeks ago. But, you know, when it comes to his rhetoric and really understanding the attitude and the sort of approach and demeanor that you really need to take on this crisis with the oomph that we need and the real braveness and ambition that we need, you know, I think there are some questions there. We saw some really bold statements and aggressive pledges and promises from candidates across the board. And you know, I think Vice President Biden's showing was not at the top tier of candidates during the climate town hall.
And there's a difference between a candidate who obviously is saying what he or she needs to say in order to win support versus a candidate who is sincere in the pledges that they are making. Most of the front runners have some record that one can examine in terms of their sincerity on taking on climate change. One person who has been pretty steadfast on climate is Bernie Sanders, the Vermont senator, who is the, you know, according to most polls, at least the second top front runner after Biden, and he seemed pretty ambitious at the town hall, the forum. This is what Sanders had to say on Wednesday.
We are proposing the largest, most comprehensive climate change program ever presented by any candidate in the history of the United States. So where do we get? And let me, even before I tell you where we get the money, and I will do that, people say, well, Bernie, you know, you're spending a lot of money. Is it realistic? And my response to them is it realistic to not listen to the scientists and to create a situation where the planet that our children and grandchildren and future generations will be living in will be increasingly uninhabitable and unhealthy? Is that realistic? So I think we have a moral responsibility to act and act boldly. And to do that, yes, it is going to be expensive. The richest three people in this country own more wealth than the bottom half of American society, where major profitable corporations like Amazon, who made over $10 billion in profits last year, didn't pay a nickel in taxes. Am I going to guarantee Jeff Bezos he's not going to be paying more in taxes? No, I won't.
And that is Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders answering a question about how he would pay for the $16 trillion that his climate plan would cost. My guest is David Turnbull, Strategic Communications Director at Oil Change US. David, do you take issue with the question itself? Because often that is raised when it comes to the climate issue. You never hear in mainstream forums about the cost that we bear of subsidizing the fossil fuel industry. We only hear about the cost that we would have to pay to tackle climate change.
Absolutely. I really appreciate the way that Senator Sanders and other candidates on the stage really kind of rejected the premise of the question with respect to the costs of tackling our climate crisis. You know, we have islands in the Caribbean, in the Bahamas right now, that may be uninhabitable because of a climate-fueled hurricane for years to come. We have communities in California like Paradise that have been decimated by the climate crisis. To talk about the costs of action without talking about the costs of inaction is just simply irresponsible. The costs of inaction on climate change are immense. And as you say, we spend billions of dollars of dollars each year in subsidizing the fossil fuel industry to continue fueling this crisis. We simply can't afford not to act. And I appreciate that Senator Sanders really lays that out there.
Now, what did you make of Sanders's climate plan that he had released before this climate forum? He seems to have encompassed a lot of the Green New Deal resolution in his plan. And, you know, some say he has gone even further.
Absolutely. There's no question that Senator Sanders is a climate champion. He has been a climate champion during his time in the Senate and even before that in Congress as well. His plan is robust. It's ambitious. It has a lot of the elements that we need to see for our next president to address. There's not a whole lot more to say than yes. Senator Sanders' plan is a really bold and ambitious plan.
Let's take a listen to what Senator Elizabeth Warren, who's also one of the top front runners, said on the issue of climate change at the CNN Climate Forum.
Bernie Sanders has endorsed the idea of the public ownership of utilities, arguing that we can't adequately solve this crisis without removing the profit motive from the distribution of essential needs like energy. As president, would you be willing to call out capitalism in this way and advocate for the public ownership of our utilities?
Gosh, I'm not sure that that's what gets you to the solution. I'm perfectly willing to take on giant corporations. I think I've been known to do that once or twice. But for me, I think the way we get there is we just say, sorry, guys, but by 2035, you're done. You're not going to be using any more carbon-based fuels. That gets us to the right place. And if somebody wants to make a profit from building better solar panels and generating better battery storage, I'm not opposed to that. What I'm opposed to is when they do it in a way that hurts everybody else. You shouldn't be able to externalize these costs. That's the problem with fossil fuels right now. I think that the best way we go forward here is we open up the opportunities. We open up the possibilities. We invest in the science. We invest in the manufacturing. We invest in the pieces that let us build a future together going forward. But, I just want to be clear. We got to have tough rules that we are willing to enforce. And that means we have got to be willing to fight back against these giant industries.
And that is Elizabeth Warren, Senator from Massachusetts, one of the front runners in the Democratic candidates, among the Democratic candidates for president. She was asked, David, if she would support the nationalizing of public utilities. She didn't quite answer that. And I think, she has said in the past that she is a capitalist. She might be the most progressive capitalist among the Democratic candidates, as opposed to Bernie Sanders, the most progressive socialist among the Democratic candidates. What do you make of this issue? Is it nitpicking to hold it against her that she didn't not want to go as far as Sanders in nationalizing utilities?
I don't know that I would go so far as to say that it's nitpicking, but, I do think that we're talking about shades of gray here. It's pretty clear that Elizabeth Warren has a record of taking on big corporations, as she mentions. Her climate goals are ambitious and strong, and, she's trying to develop plans to get there. I think this question of municipalizing public utilities and breaking up monopolies and such is an important one, and it's one that obviously Senator Sanders has come out for and talked about. I've seen that Senator Warren has been getting some critique from the left flank of the climate movement and of the progressive movement for her answer to this question. But, I think her showing at the Climate Town Hall was actually quite strong. She talked about needing to break the grip of the fossil fuel industry on Washington. She talked about holding the fossil fuel industry accountable and other corporations that are polluters accountable and implementing goals and laws that really require us to move towards the renewable energy and the emission reduction goals that we really need to address the issue. This specific question, I think there's a lot to unpack there. And I appreciate that she was forthright in her answer to some extent, but there's some questions that remain there for sure.
Let's now take a listen to Kamala Harris. And of course, we can't play the whole thing. We can't play even clips from every single candidate because of time issues. So we're focusing on the four front runners here. This is what Kamala Harris had to say. And I believe almost all, if not all of the candidates did agree that when becoming president, they would ban fracking. Here is Kamala Harris.
Will you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking your first day in office, adding the United States to the list of countries who have banned this devastating practice?
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yeah, and starting And starting with what we can do on day one around public lands, right? And then there has to be legislation. But yes, and this is something I've taken on in California. I have a history of working on this issue. And to your point, that we have to just acknowledge that the residual impact of fracking is enormous in terms of the impact on the health and safety of communities. Yeah. So thank you.
So would you ban offshore drilling?
Yes.
And that is Senator Kamala Harris of California committing to banning offshore drilling and, before that, fracking. David Turnbull, how do you assess her overall performance on the issue of climate at the town hall and her assertion that she's been a champion on this issue of banning fracking in California?
You know, I thought Kamala Harris did a good job of showing her passion for this issue. She spoke, I think, passionately about the climate crisis, the impacts that her own state of California are seeing on the crisis. And, you know, I was thrilled at her answer that you just played with respect to banning fracking and banning offshore drilling.
Well, hopefully she won't turn around and change her mind like she did on Medicare for All.
Absolutely, absolutely. We want all the candidates to stick to the commitments that they made in their plans. And I think it's an indication, really, of how much this conversation has shifted, specifically on fracking. You know, I have a colleague who was remarking that, you know, years ago when we started really seeing fracking take off in the United States and communities started organizing to push back against it, you know, the question was, what can we do about this? Are we going to be able to have an impact? Are we going to be able to slow this down? And now it feels like, at least when it comes to the Democratic Party, the question is not if we're going to actually address fracking, it's when. And that's an amazing moment. It's an amazing shift. And seeing someone like Senator Harris, who, you know, I don't think would ever consider herself, you know, at the far left of the, you know, Democratic field, you know, unequivocally saying, yes, I want to ban fracking. That's a critical moment. And it's a real great indication of the power of the movement of communities, impacted communities who have been fighting fracking for years now.
I'm loath to bring up President Donald Trump in this conversation, but he is the president. We do have to raise the fact that while the forum was happening, while he was tweeting about Hurricane Dorian's effects, he was also slamming the forum itself and making some very interesting claims, including saying that the United States has had the largest carbon emission reductions, that it's China that has dumped the most carbon into the air, that the U.S. is leading the world in energy production, but has the world's cleanest and safest air and water. He claimed that the climate agreement, the Paris Accord, would protect polluters and hurt Americans. And he said, I want crystal clear water and the cleanest and the purest air on the planet. We've now got that. I mean, it's hard to keep a straight face in repeating some of his claims, but how do you respond, David?
You know, I saw a reporter remark that the eight quote-unquote facts that he put out on Twitter, none of them were facts. Literally every single one of them was a misstatement, an untruth, or a lie. Donald Trump has done whatever he can to do the fossil fuels bidding. He has undermined Clean Water Act protections that governors have to protect their states from polluting fossil fuel projects. He's just simply wrong in every single way possible. And, you know, it's disingenuous to even talk about it, considering the fact that he thinks that the climate crisis is a hoax perpetuated by China. When it comes down to some of the details here, you know, the United States is by far the largest historic emitter of greenhouse gas emissions. There's no debate about that. We have the largest historic responsibility for this issue. We're also, you know, the largest or among the top per capita emitters to this day. We have an incredible, important responsibility to take leadership on this issue. And it's an embarrassment to the United States the way that Donald Trump approaches it. But there's another piece here that's really important, though. The fact that he felt that he needed to tweet about this and to make these false claims shows that, you know, he's vulnerable on this. This is a winning issue. The climate crisis is a winning issue. And candidates who show that they are going to be leaders on the climate crisis are going to generate excitement from voters. And that's incredibly important. And it's a shift from years past.
Well, I want to thank you so much, David, for joining us today. Give out a website for Oil Change US.
We're at oilchangeus.org.
That's oilchangeus.org. Thank you so much, David.
Thanks for having me.
My guest has been David Turnbull, Strategic Communications Director at Oil Change US. We've been discussing this Wednesday's CNN Climate Change Town Hall. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.